Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here today. When I say us, it is Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hello, Steve.
Jill is the author of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, and it's a great book.
Leslie Leyland Fields.
Yeah, and it's a great book to give to your children so that they will forgive you.
Adult children.
Yeah. And, well, you know, some kids are smarter than others.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a wonderful, wonderful book. You know, a lot of people are so angry at their parents. They are teaching their little children how to not forgive
well,
them.
Well, you know what? It's so true. And seeing this more and more with people cutting people out, and I just cringe because it's like, this is what you're modeling for your kids. And while they're young and cute and innocent, you think they'll always be there. They won't if this is how you show them to treat the grandparents. Right?
Exactly.
Now, that doesn't mean you should take abuse, right?
Right.
Absolutely
not.
I
mean that. Speaking of not taking abuse, Milan Yurkovich has helped a lot of people not take abuse. Hi, Milan.
Hey, Steve. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Milan.
And yes, that's a great point that you're making, Jill. I love that point. And it's great to be with you, Steve.
Great to be with you. Milan and I went snorkeling together and down in the Virgin Islands. It was so much fun and just to be out and about and... Oh, my goodness. When there's water that you don't have to get used to, you know, it just feels good the second you're in it. And we saw this lionfish, and it just made me think of all the people that I've met in my life that were lying to me. And it was quite a spiritual
fun, guys.
Experience. Yeah, it was.
It was
really
a great
fun.
Time.
Great, great time. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, we're here for you today. And I want to tell you about our free things, too. Free things and a great discount. One is I will send you for free 5 irrefutable truths that can transform your life. You just go to newlife.com and click right there and it'll send it to you. And then, or you could call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, what are they? And we'll tell you all about them. And then free shipping and a special price on 4 books, 4 different books, Living Strong and Finishing Well. That was Dave Stoops' last book. The last book he and I did together, The Soul of a Hero, and then the first 2 books in our series for loving and understanding your children. First one, Understanding and Loving a Child with ADHD, Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes Pot. Those two, they're all of that. And then, until the 12th of November, this Ultimate Writers Conference that I'm part of with, it's got Lee Strobel. He is just an amazing writer. The Case for Christ and other things. We've got, I think the combined amount of books sold by the people presenting is something around 200 million books out there. It's just phenomenal. And one of the things I read over the past week that, you know, John Steinbeck said this. He says, when I stop learning, I hope I die. In other words, he never stopped learning. He never stopped studying. And Jerry Jenkins, same thought there. He says, if I wasn't in this conference, I'd be attending this conference. So if you've ever wanted to be a writer or a better writer or wanted to publish or publish more or sell more, this is a great place. And you get like $100-some-odd off. And New Life will also benefit when you sign up through this. You just go to liftable.tv/UWC That's Ultimate Rider Conference initials, UWC. You give them the code Steve, and you get the best deal ever on attending something that I think all of us have a book inside, at least one or two. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're going to the phones after I tell you that it's Thursday and Life Recovery Today is airing on the NRB television network on your cable television. And if you missed it, well, you could just go to liferecoverytoday.net. Some inspiring, amazing stories about people that have really transformed their lives inside out. Jason Mueller is my guest today on Life Recovery Today. He's from Ransom Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. What a church they have and what a ministry he has there. All right, let's how about we go and talk with Sandy from Lexington, Kentucky. She listens on Pure Radio right there. And how are you today, Sandy?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I was calling because I'm looking for some guidance versus an answer. I was telling the lady who screened my call, I'm talking about narcissistic personality disorder. I have this in my family with my dad and my brother, and we are actually having, I'm in the medical field, so I'm kind of familiar with all this kind of stuff. So I think we're in a standstill right now. We've had a very abusive, like, physical and emotional growing up because our parent with our dad, and that has impacted and had trauma with all four of us kids. I have two sisters along with me and a brother, but I think that impact has had a terrible impact on my brother. My dad is a narcissist, like I said. We come from a Southeast Asian community where it's very patriarchal. My parents are immigrants, and so it's common to see this kind of thing between husband and wife, but this carried on through us.
Okay, right, so now, you're wanting some insight, no, some perspective, but not an answer.
Not an answer, but some guidance, because we kind of have entered an emergent situation that has happened just in the last year, and it's rearing its head, and...
Okay, let's hear about it. Okay, so what's the issue that you want guidance on, but not an answer?
In November of 2020, my sisters had an altercation with my brother. It was a normal conversation. He just blew up. He scared both girls. They were there at home, at my parents' home, with their families and their children. Everybody witnessed this. And all three of us kind of talked about this after the event, and we completely shut down. My youngest sister went into full trauma. She had to go get counseling and all this stuff. And so we haven't talked to him since then because we don't know how to. And he recently had a friend who lost his mother, and this has triggered him for somehow. He has been texting us, Facebooking us, making all these accusations that we're a Christian family. My sister is in ministry. And he's accusing us of being demonic, just unbelievers, and we're just, you know, we don't deserve to even have a, you know, be where we are because we just don't even know how to live up to our Christian, you know, whatever. And it's
what kind of guidance are you looking for in a situation like that?
We don't know what to do. We, you know, like, we haven't told our parents about this. We're fearful for their safety because he does live with them. He has shown up at our houses in the past. We're worried that he might show up and start something with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just like, what? We don't know where to go. Like, we don't know what to do. And he keeps texting us these berating text messages like, you need to do something now. Don't just sit there. And he's just calling his name. And
We get it.
I don't know.
Okay, so we get it. It's a really, really bad situation. He's out of control, name-calling, all that kind of stuff.
And what is he wanting you to do?
He wants us to talk with him to forgive him. He wants us to ask him for forgiveness for what we've done to him.
Oh, okay. But he's having a hard time tolerating the distance that has happened.
This is the first time that the three of us girls have not put up with his behavior.
So, and when
first
you...
time, we have never done this before.
Well, and good for you. But, you know, whenever you set a boundary, there is the possibility of somebody kicking and screaming more loudly to try to get you back into control and back into the old dynamic. Because that, so you've rocked the boat here, and he doesn't like it, right? His little kingdom has been disrupted. So,
absolutely.
Right? So, he's probably, I can hear that you're worried about what he might do. And a lot of times, people that are more narcissistic like a lot of distance, especially if they're more avoidant. But at a certain point, they can't tolerate it. So it sounds like there needs to be some contact, because some contact could potentially de-escalate things. Like, we hear you, brother, and we understand that there's a, you know, kind of acknowledging what's true. We understand that there's a rift between us, and we don't like it either, right? And we feel like forgiveness needs to happen on all sides. Now, he may think
we
it should...
Three girls don't want to talk to him alone. We're wondering, should we bring their... I'm not married. Should we bring their husbands in?
Absolutely.
Should we bring a third party in?
Sure.
He's very manipulative.
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, I think one of the things you have to do with an immature, highly manipulative person is you need more than just... You need all the people there, but you need more than just the brothers-in-law. By that I mean, if you sat down and said, we will talk with you, but it's going to be in the office of a licensed marriage and family therapist or a psychologist, and we will have our time to communicate there. That way, you have a professional that can assess what's really going on here. Mm-hmm. There are people, and you said it, if he has narcissistic personality disorder, all personality disorders are very difficult to deal with. And if you try to take them on just one by one, you're just going to have probably an unsuccessful skirmish. So I highly recommend that you set the boundaries, and here's how we're going to have a discussion in the office of a professional therapist or psychologist.
Right.
And that is what I suggest.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea. It's like, yes, we agree with you. We need to talk.
Right.
And here's how we're willing to talk.
And it's more than about what happened a year ago, November.
Yes.
It's about the larger pattern that has been going on for a long time. And may I say that empathy for your brother, also realizing he was wounded by the patriarchal system that you are describing, he's wounded as well. And to be able to have empathy for him and compassion and say, look, you're wounded too.
All right. I'm going to send you two books, How We Love and Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. I hope that those are going to be helpful in all of this. And those are available at newlife.com, along with the books that we've given 10% off and free shipping on the four that are at our website, newlife.com. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with, I've been holding for a little while here, Patricia from Woodbridge, Virginia, listening on WAVA. Hi there, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Tell us how we could help today.
I have a question. Okay, I have a daughter who lives in the Midwest. She's married, has four kids. August of 2020, she had a miscarriage. And about a month after that, she started just saying some weird things about her husband, that he was a homosexual, that he was having an affair with a lesbian woman, and just things that did not make sense. He's in construction, so he is in people's homes.
Have you talked with him about it, what she's saying?
No, because it kind of happened very quickly. In a few weeks, she was still having some issues, medical issues from the miscarriage, and she basically did not get help. Me and her sisters all encouraged her to see a doc. She did not do that. And then within a few weeks of that, she started saying that her husband was actually sexually abusing all the children. And at that point, we were like, okay, all right, I have, you know, they've stayed in my house, I've stayed in their house. We are some distance away, but we had a good enough relationship. It was not making sense to me. Then her church got involved, not helpfully, and took her side. So she did a protective order against him, started the CPS case. Anyway, at that point, we did get involved. We went out there. She wouldn't talk to us. The church, I guess, kind of supported her in that. So we helped our son-in-law kind of through that process, was okay with him when CPS, you know, came back and said it was unsubstantiated. Anyway, they are in divorce. She has cut the relationship with us. We have very little contact with her, but recently we've been doing some texting, so it looks like I'm going to have an opportunity to go out to the Midwest and see her.
What's the question for us then?
She's having some mental health challenges. How do I approach her without shutting her down? You know, I don't think I could go and say, "Hey, I think you need help." Like, so how do I do this? How do I have a conversation with her to start to have an impact and voice in her life?
Do you know what church that is that she's going to?
She's at a different church now.
And are they telling her things?
No, that first church she's been out of several months. I think she's kind of, you know, she doesn't have a lot of those relationships. I'm not sure that she's really having any relationships to any degree in her life right now.
Well, and that's rather interesting, since the church was so supportive of her and helped her along, that she would no longer be there. Kind of makes you wonder what happened.
Well, I was thinking it would be really good to talk to that church, because I wonder now if all of a sudden they didn't decide, once CPS made their decision, maybe they weren't so supportive of her, and that's why she left. I can't imagine her leaving a place that's taking her side. Maybe they did what all of us would do. You listen, you act on what you're told, but then when the authorities are involved and they find something is not true, then you act on that also. I mean, that's a very responsible thing to do. Mm-hmm. It would have been a mistake for the church to say to her, "Oh, I don't believe this, you know, move on." I think they probably did the right thing, and maybe that's why they're not involved now, because they continued to do the right thing. We want to listen and act on the information presented. Mylon, do you have any thoughts here about what they might do to help that young woman who I believe really does need a lot of help?
Well, the church is not in a position to be of being able to ascertain the truth or the falsehood of her accusations, but CPS is more fully trained to be able to figure those things out. So I could see why, as a church, and they are mandated reporters, would want to pull in the CPS and ask for help. So it makes sense. I would, you know what, Patricia, I feel so bad for you, because this is a very rough situation for you to be in. I would ask a lot of questions. I would want to ask a lot of questions of your son-in-law. And oh, by the way, if they get a divorce, he'll always still be your son-in-law. And I would ask him a lot of questions. I would ask your daughter a lot of questions. I would look at your history, Patricia, when she was a little girl. Did she have extreme outbursts, or did she have you ever seen this before? And I would just want to explore, and then I want to ask her what happened, and tell me how you see what's going on with your home and your life and your family. And by the way, why are you divorcing your husband? And I think it's really important to try and ask these questions in a gentle way, but a firm way.
Mm-hmm. Seeking information and understanding.
Curiosity.
Not trying to set the record straight.
Absolutely, Jill.
Really drawing her out so she can hear herself talking these things.
And curiosity is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you the most effective thing I've ever done to save marriages. One thing to save marriages. Stay tuned for that. I hope it'll help others.
I can hardly wait, Jill.
I know. Pins and needles.
I'll try to make something up at the break. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. When anybody is considering divorce, and I hear about that, here is what I say to them, and I might be saying it to you out there. You might be thinking about divorce. I say this: before you divorce this person, before it's final, I think you need to be able to tell your children and the grandchildren that you did everything you possibly could do to save that marriage, even in the incidents of adultery and unfaithfulness. And what I think that involves is going to our Intimacy in Marriage weekend. Now, I'm trying to think of all the people that I've ever told that to. I don't think anyone ever got a divorce. It's just that amazing. It's just that profound. And so I would be saying to this daughter, well, if you're going to divorce, please be willing to do the one thing you could do that might turn things around. So that's one thing you can do. And if you're thinking of divorce, Intimacy in Marriage, we're going to do that February the 11th, 12th, and 13th in Orange County. Mylon, myself, and his wife, Kay. And it is a miracle maker. And I think it applies here. Also, I will send to her this book about all of this, How We Love. I think that'll help them understand their daughter better, and maybe they'll pass it on to her. But she really does need help, and sometimes the help comes by going to her and going with her to something, saying, I'll go with you. Let's do this together. Let's work on our relationship with the counselor together. I'll come out there. We'll work something out, special thing, 2 or 3 days with somebody. Those are options.
You know, Steve, there's one other thing that I failed to mention that I think is really important, and that is the safety of the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not from what she's accusing her husband to be, but if, in fact, she is suffering some acute form of mental illness, even psychotic states where she is believing something that's not true, somehow those kids need to be protected from that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I would want to make sure that the right things were being done by the son-in-law to ensure that.
Mm-hmm.
Another
good reason for Patricia to go out there and kind of eyeball the situation.
That's right. And the courts are very used to doing procedures of psychological evaluations within families to determine competency. And we must protect children.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I really hope and pray that something we've said here is helpful and will help her. But, oh my goodness, this brain, when it malfunctions like a kidney or something else, if you don't get that malfunctioning treated appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And oftentimes a pregnancy or something like that can push people into these things. Something that was laying dormant can be awakened. And it seems like there's a lot around that miscarriage.
Yeah.
And there is,
for her,
you know, postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression are very real.
Postpartum psychotic symptoms.
They are really very real diagnoses, and they have to be explored.
Yep.
Sadly, the daughter wouldn't go to a doctor, you see.
Yeah.
Very sad.
And that is the difficult thing to deal with here.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to now. Let's go and talk with Ramona, Taylorsville, North Carolina. And, let's see what she has to say. Hi there. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Excellent.
Hello.
Mylon and Jill are always great to be with. Very little criticism during the breaks. So how can we help you today? What's going on?
Glad you're all behaving.
Although Mylon did tell some people that I was hard to work with. So,
Only once, Steve.
Only once I was hard to work with.
Yeah.
Okay. How can we help you?
We'll give him a pass then.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a 20-year-old adult son raised in a Christian home. Not perfect, as you know, we have a lot of issues in our own home, but it was a Christian home. And recently he moved in, or they're cohabitating with a female friend. It makes me disappointed. And my question is regarding traveling, because he lives quite a ways away, and so I'd have to travel during the holiday to spend time with him, and would have to stay with him or whatever. And I just want to rightly represent Jesus and what that might look like when I travel out there. And adding on a little point here, he called me last week and said, "You are coming, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, I'm looking forward to, you know, spending time with you during the holiday." And he said, "Well, I don't want you to be like the last two people that came." Now, the last two people were Christian friends, and apparently I don't know what exactly went on, but he said, "I want you to be happy and peppy when you're here." I said, "Well, that sounds like an order." But anyway, what is your advice and guidance on this awkward? I feel awkward a bit,
yeah,
in this,
sure,
situation.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give you some help here. And I think a great time of year to be asking this. A lot of folks dealing with imperfect, even you could say nightmarish situations, the exact opposite of what they wanted for their children. It really brings up really, really important questions that need to be addressed before you get there. That's what I love about your phone calls. You're going to figure this out beforehand. Hope we can help you. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need any kind of help, especially intimacy in marriage, February the 11th in Orange County. This weekend, tomorrow in Orange County, it's every man's battle. So many, thousands of men are free. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're sitting here talking about cohabitating children. Cohabitation is such a bad idea, and it really does increase the likelihood of everything you don't want to happen in the future. Doesn't really help anything.
And there's been studies done, not in Christendom, right, in the secular world, that have proven that more times than not, if you live together, you don't end up marrying the person.
Right.
Right.
So, Jill, what would you say to the mom
and Ramona, the guys were laughing at me. I just want to clarify, this is a romantic relationship, correct, and not just platonic.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my belief too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and you might clarify that. Okay. And your son is setting up some stipulations on you coming. So, okay, son, before I come, then let's clear the air about a few things. Is this relationship a romantic relationship? Right. Are you living with your girlfriend, or is this just your roommate? Okay. So to clarify,
it's a girlfriend. I know that already.
Okay, yeah. And then okay, son, you know we raised you in a Christian home. You know how I feel about this. Can we talk about this prior to me coming, and have a discussion? And here's the thing. He's making a choice outside of the values in which you raised him, and that's a really hard thing. And parents have to grieve that. And you have to decide, is this a hill you die on, or are you going to continue to kind of walk that line of modeling Jesus to him by saying, you know, being very clear on what you think is right and what you believe, but also staying in relationship with him and letting it be his journey and letting him know, I am praying for you because I don't think this is God's best for you.
So, Mylon, what do you think?
Ramona, I agree with everything that Jill just said. In addition, I would ask questions like, so why do I need to be peppy and happy?
Yeah.
You know, when I come to your house, you see. We could conjecture a lot of possibilities, but basically he's looking for endorsement, you know, by you being peppy and not, you know, like the past two Christians that were there. And I think it's really important to say, how much do I affect your mood? You know, if I smile, how do you feel? If I frown, how do you feel? And help him understand that he's still very driven by other people, that his self-awareness of his own self-esteem is based upon other people's opinions of him. And I just need you to be happy, Mom. But I'm not, honey. But I love you, to Jill's point. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come visit, but I'm going to stay in a hotel because I'm going to be more comfortable there. But I want to do things together. But I want to let you know what I think. And Jill, I couldn't improve any more.
Well, and I'm going to basically be a real person, right?
Yep.
And what you were saying too, Mylon, is he wants people to be peppy because he's feeling convicted.
He's something he's feeling.
Right? Mm-hmm. He is feeling convicted about it.
So I have another angle here. Like Mylon usually does that, but I'm going to do it.
Okay.
So he didn't like Christians being there, and he points out Christians.
I think one confronted the top.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
So you see how that went with him. He didn't weep and have her or him move out. So if I was going to talk with him, this may sound strange, but I would say, now you know how I feel about you living with her and not being married, but do you know it's not a morality issue with me? And I know that sounds weird. Do you know it's not a matter of what's right and wrong with me? See, here's what it is. I love you, and I want the best for you. And you're doing something that's a problem. Either she doesn't care enough about you to commit, or there's something in you that wants this versus being fully committed. And even secular research has shown how bad this is for a couple. And I don't know why you're doing this, but I know this. The statistics aren't in your favor. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people slide into marriage after they've lived together because they've got the joint lease, they've got the house, all this stuff. You don't decide to marry. You slide into it, and it's miserable because, well, you didn't have enough commitment to get committed and married before you lived together. So I don't want you thinking I'm some quote-unquote Christian who has this moral standard, this right and wrong thing, and that's what I'm standing behind. No, I love you, and I care about you and your future and why in the world you ended up, it's so smart that you are, in one of the most unsatisfying, potentially very, very hurtful situations. Anyway, I would just be making that kind of point rather than saying, well, now you know what the Bible says. Because obviously he doesn't care what the Bible says. Okay, does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, definitely a perspective I hadn't thought of. So back to Jill's comment, So she would not advise me to even stay there?
No, I said
Mylan
that.
Was saying.
I said if you are uncomfortable with the situation, one way that you can do two things, have a relationship, but hold your own boundaries would be to perhaps stay in your hotel and visit them and just say, well, I'm going to stay, you know, a few minutes
and
away.
That's
in a hotel.
Another option.
And you just say, you want me to accept this, and I do accept that you...
Would it... Yeah, would it be...
I don't know.
Would it be condoning to stay
well,
there?
Well, you're talking to him ahead of time, and you're letting him know that, you know, he knows how you feel, right?
Okay.
So you're not condoning it.
It's never been talked about.
Right, okay, so it needs to be talked about.
Yeah. And if they were at your place and you let them stay with you, that would be condoning it. But I don't know that you stay with them is. But Mylan said the right thing here. He said, do what you would feel comfortable with. They want you to accept them. He wants you to accept them. Okay, they have to accept you. Your
That's right.
Yeah, acceptance goes both ways.
That's right.
And acceptance is not condoning.
And you want them to be peppy and happy about you staying in a hotel.
Yes.
That is so good. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Speaking of peppy,
here he is.
Larry Sonnenberg is right here in the studio with us.
And, yes, sir.
Larry,
that's me.
What in the world do you have? And be sure it's peppy and happy.
Okay. Well, guys, you need to sign up for Club New Life today because we're starting tomorrow. And it's a weekend that will change your life. And let me read this testimony. When I came to Every Man's Battle workshop, I was very anxious about confronting my problems and discussing them with strangers. But right from the start, our group leader made me feel accepted and loved. I soon realized I was not alone, and I had brothers in this battle to help me. This weekend has exceeded any expectation I had and has transformed me to the core. To hear that. It transformed him to the core.
It's awesome.
I feel truly blessed to have attended. God showed up in a powerful way. I'll never be the same. While this is just the start of the journey, the reconciliation with my spouse, I'm encouraged and I'm hopeful. Guys, what can be better than that? You want to be transformed to the core.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the week, I read one and the guy said it was, where is it? Most meaningful, uplifting, life-changing event of his life. That's in store for you. You just need to make a phone call. And if money's an issue, we can help you with the scholarship.
You know, Larry, unlawful sex, pornography, prostitution, the whole thing, it's a big lie.
Oh, amen.
And so you're not only being changed from the core inside out, but you're also being released and delivered from a lie that is enslaving.
Yeah. And eats away at your soul.
Eats away at your soul, but it also makes any spouse unattractive.
Yes.
Because a lot of people that come out of pornography and that world, they have a hard time connecting to the real person right next to them, you see. And that takes time, and that's why here's the 1-2 punch. If you went to Every Man's Battle, and then you went to our marriage and intimacy workshop next February. That's the 1-2 punch.
Yeah, well, it's really 1-2-3. Next week is Restore Workshop.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yes.
And folks, we need your support to help us keep doing this, to help lives to be forever changed because of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So a gift of any amount, big, small, join Club New Life, donate stock, whatever you want to do. Remember us in your will. Whatever you can do, we need your support.
And don't forget, God loves a peppy a giver. And and wants you to do it from a spirit of being happy about the change that can take place. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry. We'll take a break. Come back for the final segment here on New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, please call.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylan Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Your phone calls here. Really glad you're with us. If you need help, you know, 1-800-NEW-LIFE is right there, available all all day long. Sure hope you'll call us. Let's go over here. Been holding a while. Really appreciate that. Don from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listens on WFIL. How you doing today, Don?
Thank you for taking my call. I thank you very much. I listen to your program. It's very helpful for me. And
thank you.
Thank God for you. The question is, I suffer with learn how to forgive because I've been married several times, and I'm taking some of the responsibility. But now I'm at a point in my life that my first got married. My wife shared a kid with my brother.
Oh, and that's rough.
I struggle with forgiveness because I got grandkids. I don't even know. And you know, it really hurts when I see them on Facebook. It bothers me. And then you know, and close to that, my first marriage, it was hard for me to deal with the other marriages. And like my last marriage, I got upset. I just walked away. And then when I walked away, I got a divorce, and I realized that it's nothing that she really had done. It's something that I was so angry and so hurt. And I come to realize that, you know, it was all unforgiveness inside of me. And like, I still need really dealing with it. I just, like, you know, you overlap. And I'm at a point in my life now, I want to do the right thing. I'm
okay.
You know,
so what's the question for us then?
The question is how to overcome that.
Okay.
Forgiveness, how you forgive, and, you know, you look at it every other day, and I know that you have to forgive a person, and it's painful.
Hmm. Yeah, it is.
Very painful. And Don, it sounds like the hurt that happened in previous marriages just kept snowballing, and you kept bringing that along, right? It's like, I'll just get rid of this person because they hurt me, and I'll just find a new person who won't hurt me. And that usually doesn't work, because we're all capable of hurting another person, especially the closer we are. And so then that hurt snowballed, and you're telling me you walked away without really giving this last wife a chance. So so the beginning of your healing is that recognition that, oh, I have, it's instead of just finding another partner and getting married again, I need to go back and do some work on what went wrong, what happened. I need to speak about the hurt that happened, and I need to grieve the losses. And that's where then the forgiveness comes in at that point. But but your anger is a sign that there's a lot of unresolved stuff inside of you. And that's just with your marriages. I don't even know what came before that caused you to fall into this pattern.
Mylon, your thoughts here.
I mean,
because I think it really, this concept of not forgiving, I think it bleeds over into everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Impacts everything.
You know, Don, I we're coming to a close in the show, and so I just have a few quick comments. Forgiveness does not equal trust. So if somebody has betrayed you and had an affair with a family relative, forgiveness doesn't mean that I just open my arms back up and embrace them and bring them back into the position they were before they did that. We really have to understand that. Forgiveness releases us from the bondage of holding them prisoner in our hearts. Number two, we have to learn to pick more wisely before we get married, to go through a vetting process where we really ask the question, is this person a very good person for me to work with? Are they a growing person? Do I see them on a trajectory of wanting to grow and change? And then the last thing, and then that would be a better pick, because a lot of people just get married very quickly and impulsively sometimes, and they don't really ask any questions.
You have to ask that of yourself too. Am I a growing person?
And that's absolutely right, Jill. And my last point is, with whom in the past am I angry? Who in my past am I really angry that when I get next to somebody in the present, it triggers me and I get so angry, I just walk out and file for divorce? Mm-hmm. That's an extreme position for you to take. And I'm glad you recognize it. But therapy with a good therapist can help you understand how all these things are working as a collective whole to make relationships yes. difficult for you. And Don, I really appreciate the wisdom of your question.
Mm-hmm. You know, I look at things, well, simply because I have a simple brain, but, you know, it's like you have this beaker that holds your emotions. And if you've got this anger, unforgiveness, and bitterness, and it fills your emotional beaker up 7/8 of the way, well, then just a little bit of irritation or struggle with somebody else, and you're out of control, and you're it's too much. You got to walk away, not because what they did was so horrible, but they did it on top of all that other stuff, and it just becomes too much. So what do? We have to resolve the stuff down below. And that takes, first of all, I think, grieving all the horrible things ever done to you, grieving the things you did to yourself, grieving the things God didn't prevent. And then you come to accept the reality that's there. Now I go from being unable to forgive, I've resolved some things, now I can enter the forgiveness process. And all of that, that emotional beaker inside of you, it gets more and more ready for the good stuff. And it can handle a little bit of the bad stuff. And so I just want to encourage you, well, we do an emotional freedom workshop. That would be an amazing thing for you to come
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
I think
very
it
much.
Would really, really help you. You could sign up at newlife.com. I'll send you this other book that, you know, Dave's book, Forgiving What You'll Never Forget. Yeah, What You'll Never Forget.
Yeah.
I'll send that to you. I think that will help. And then I'm going to send you my book, Healing is a Choice. I hope all of that together gives you some direction and some guidance there. Well, that pretty much wraps up our phone calls here today. I want to tell you, we've got some free stuff for you. First, five irrefutable facts that will, well, they can and they will transform your life. Spent a lot of time working on these. You just can't argue. They're amazing. And if you go to newlife.com, we'll download those for you. You'll see the link there. Also, there's free shipping and a 10% discount on four books. One of them, Dave's last book, Living Well, Finishing Strong. Oh, he was such an example of that. The last book we did together, The Soul of a Hero, and then our Understanding and Loving Your Child with ADHD or Your Child Who Smokes Pot. Those are free shipping, 10% off on those books, and then it's totally free to get the download, five irrefutable truths that can transform your life. It is close to the end of the year. That means holidays. We want to help you with that. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also a new year coming up, and if you're struggling with sexual integrity, call us right now. Join us tomorrow for the beginning of every man's battle and start the new year clean, pure, and free. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number. We love you. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to all of you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.